All right, what's going on, Day Trippers? You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast. This is episode 33. That's a good, it's not a round number.
No,
it's a
but
double
it's a good number.
It's a good number. Feels
good. It's a good number, 33. Right. I can go with that.
Yeah. All right, I'm Chet. I'm joined by my co-host, Todd. And today we're talking about the anatomy of a shoot. Anyway, this podcast is sponsored by Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. If you guys hadn't had a Mighty Fine Burger yet, and y'all been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, then something's wrong, because we should have made you crave a Mighty Fine Burger by now.
Absolutely.
All right, they got five awesome locations. It is the, you know, the sort of classic burger. We had this big discussion yesterday on whether or not it's fast food. I say no, because it tastes too good to be fast food.
Yep.
But other people were like, no, it's fast food, it just doesn't have a drive-thru. I don't know what the answer is, but it's a dang tasty burger. And all in the Austin area, go have yourself some and have yourself a shake, because Bluebell's back.
Yes.
Bam.
That right there is a big deciding factor for me.
Yeah.
If Bluebell's at the base,
is back.
It's good.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So, anyway, we thought it would be fun. We get a lot of questions from you guys about, you know, how do you pick what you put in the episode? How do you make what you put in the episode? You know, like, how does it all happen? How does the magic of the Day Tripper happen? And so we thought it would be fun to do this podcast called The Anatomy of a Shoot. Cue the doctor noises.
Because contrary to popular opinion, we don't just show up and start rolling.
I know.
It may look like that sometimes, but we don't.
Yeah. I think some people think that it's like, yeah, we're just like cameras blazing for a full day straight, and we just roam around and see what we bump into. But it actually takes a little more planning than that.
It does. It does. But if you guys think that's what we do, then excellent. Because that means I've done a really good job of producing
and opening up
those opportunities.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it looks off the cuff, then we're doing our job. Because it's supposed to look like, wow, those guys just went to that town, they had a lot of fun, and I want to go there now.
But do not be deceived. No matter how much I plan and how much I try to schedule things, there are those moments when Chet does get a camera by himself, and we don't really know what's going to come back.
That's right. Sometimes. Or, you know, the rain comes in, or the, you know, whatever. Like, the person we talk to is not there, and they throw us all kind of flack about filming. Well, we don't know about this. Or places we didn't know what we were going to pop into. So there are, every now and then, you've got to put on the used car salesman hat and really smooth talk someone into being on the show.
Absolutely.
Now and then.
We do get those curveballs thrown at us.
That's
right. In fact, when we do our behind the scenes show for this first part of season 8, y'all are going to hear about the Big Ben stories.
There's some stories. My goodness, are there some stories. But so we just got back from Port Aransas last week. Phenomenal place. If you guys hadn't been to Port A, you need to go. But we thought that would sort of give a good backdrop to talk about the anatomy of a shoot and how we make this abstract idea come to life every episode of the Day Tripper. So, you know, what better place to start than at the beginning of a shoot? And we call this the heart of the shoot. The heart and soul. And this is really my job. And so, if I'm going to build a person, it's like Frankenstein in a lab right now.
We are.
Yep. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder, young Frankenstein. Rest in peace. But if I'm going to decide that, okay, we're going to go here for an episode, well, the very first thing I've got to do is figure out, okay, what's the heart of what we're doing? Where's the heart of the story that we're telling? Where's the soul of the story we're telling? Because, you know, truthfully, you could go to a big city or even a small town and kind of just do the face value stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be really easy to go to Austin and just eat at all the trendy places. And I feel like you'd miss out on something genuine there.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
Like, you'd just be kind of doing this superficial level kind of thing. And what we're really looking for is, what's the story they're telling? You know, what are these people all about? And what has shaped them? Where's their history come from? What do they do? You know, why do they exist out here? So,
what makes that town unique?
Yeah, what makes that town, tick? Like for instance, a turkey, right? You go all the way up to the panhandle to go to Turkey, Texas. You drive to the town, you go, what what the heck are these people doing here? This is dead. There's nothing to do. And most people drive through a town like that and think, don't even think twice about it. Say, nope. I'm glad I'm gone. But, you know, the day tripper, we take it a little more seriously. We say, okay, there's people here that make this community special. What are they about? And in Porte, you know, I think the superficial level is like, okay, tourist town, a lot of fun stuff to do, souvenir shops that sell shark teeth and koozies and shot glasses and seashells.
You got the beach.
You got the beach, you got all that stuff. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's fun, but where's the soul and the heart behind the people who live here? Because they all do live off the tourist industry, but there's a reason they all live down there, you know? And so what I do to find the heart of a place is schedule a scouting trip. Generally, now I've gotten too busy lately, so I haven't gotten to scout every place we go. But Port Aransas, I did do a scouting trip. Went down there, took my family. I think we spent maybe 3 days just kind of going around. People didn't know I made a show, you know. People don't know why I'm there. I go into the restaurants. I try to go incognito. It's getting harder and harder these days. But I try to go and eat at the place, talk to the owner, and just kind of feel them out, you know? Because a town like Port Aransas, you're going to have, like, let's say there's 100 restaurants in Port Aransas. I guarantee you, like, maybe 90% of them, so 90 of them, serve exactly the same thing. They serve a cheeseburger, they serve fried shrimp platter, they serve, you know, hush puppies and french fries, fish and chips, yep, margaritas, mm-hmm, margaritas with Coronas turned upside down in them, which is what the crew was drinking in Port Aransas.
A Corona-rita?
At least a Corona-rita, which Richie and Daniel, at least. This was after we got done filming. You know, so in typically those places, well, you know, you might not always find the owner. The owner might live in Houston and he wanted to open up a place in Port A. So you kind of cross those places off the list, unless there's something special about it. But then you go to a place like Irie's Island Food, mm-hmm, and the owner takes your order. The owner prepares the food. The owner brings it out to you, and you go, all right, this is the heart of Port A. This, yeah, is what Port A is about, or this is the best side of Port A. The people of, you know, the story about people who live down on the coast, they've moved there from wherever in life, but now they're part of the ocean and the salt and the sand, and, mm-hmm, and they're gritty and they're seasoned by the ocean tides. And they, you know, like Irie's Island Seafood, like, you know, the guy couldn't have been nicer. He's really trying to make the best food, yeah, he knows how to make.
And he has stuff that was unique too.
Yeah, it was
I didn't
cool.
see sheep's head on any other menu we were looking at.
And sheep's head is not like actual sheep head. It's a kind of fish.
Yes, I was educated on that when we were there. Yeah, he said sheep's head and I was like Baba sheep?
Baba sheep. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we try to steer toward the mom and pop shops, the places with an authentic story. And then it's a matter of saying, like, okay, I got all these things. How do I weave them into a story that sort of encapsulates this town? And so another thing I found there and there was Farley Boats, mm-hmm, which, you know, that is a place. So Farley Boats was sort of the boat brand. They were all made in Port Aransas, and they really helped that town come back from a couple really devastating hurricanes. Farley Boats became the brand, the big brand of town. People like FDR came down and tarpon fished off the back of a Farley boat. So all that stuff's really cool, and you think, like, okay, there's more here than just, like, mini golf courses and souvenir shops. Like, this, yep, this is what this town's about. So I weave all those things together and hopefully come up with a linear storyline. Sometimes better than others, but I want everything to kind of flow. Like, all right, I'm going to show up in town. What am I going to do? Well, this episode we decided it was good to start the day with a surf lesson because they do surf lessons in the morning. That's when the waves are good. It's a big kind of bold beach thing. Hit the town, go surfing, and then let the rest of the story kind of feel its way out. So I kind of created this storyline, and then I hand it over to Todd, who's in charge of actually figuring out how to take all that junk I want to do and put it into 2 days.
And then we kick into the planning stage, which is on my part as a producer. So my role really is about taking the script that Chet gives, and in case you guys haven't figured it out now, and we talk about it frequently, it takes us 2 days to do a shoot.
Yeah.
Technically three. Richie and I go down a day before.
Yeah.
And we scout some more. We look at locations and lighting and things like that. But really, it's planning out what 2 days look like to get the shoot done. And it is a matter of putting all the puzzle pieces together. Yeah. You know, we have to have our lunch at a lunchtime. We have to have the dinners at a dinner time. That makes sense. But where can we fit everything else? Because when we do something like surfing, that was a 3.5-hour, 3-hour process to do.
That's true.
Which is a chunk of the day gone.
Right.
So we have to fit those in. Even our adventure with shelling took us about 3 hours.
We went to St. Joe's Island.
Yeah.
Giant private island right outside of Port A, kind of across the jetties.
So it's all about piecing those things together and who's available, when are they available, how much time, how are we going to get there, are they comfortable being on camera? You know, sometimes I call and I get a manager and the owner is wanting to be on camera, they don't want to be on camera. Who's going to be the spokesperson? You know, all those little pieces. You know, if we go to the kitchen, is the chef going to be nice? Are they going to talk? Or are they going to grunt and not want to be on camera?
Right.
You know, there's all these questions we have to answer. Get out of my kitchen.
Yep.
Just kidding. We've only had a couple of those. Most of them have been pretty open and been okay with it. But for me, it's a good solid time that lasts over many days of reaching out to people and starting those relationships and talking about what we're doing and how we're going to do it, how long we're going to take, promising that we're not going to come in and be super intrusive in their life.
Yeah. Because they all want to know if, like, what, I got to shut down during lunch hour? Like, no. We will blend in, I promise.
But it's the planning and organizing and everything, and then I present the team with a schedule.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we have to execute.
And then we rip it apart and rearrange it.
Yes, we do.
maybe 20% of it we rearrange, but generally they're pretty good.
And we end up with long days. We have crew call times at 7:30 in the morning, and we're filming it. It's almost 9 o'clock before we get back.
That's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes later.
Yeah. This time it was. Day tripping waits for no man.
No.
So we usually wake up. We, you know, eat breakfast at Best Western, unless there's a breakfast bit in the show.
Yep.
Best Western, our partner. And then, you know, hit the ground running. And we don't see a bed again till 10. And there's, like, no breaks. There might be a 45-minute break for lunch in the middle.
Yep.
It's
a
intense.
Long day, but it's a good day. It's a fun day.
Yeah, that's right. They really are fun.
And it's nice to get all that planning done ahead of time because it really makes the day go smooth. Because then we can really focus on, to your point, shooting and telling the story while we're there.
Right.
And that's such a big piece of it.
So Todd's part is sort of the bones. He builds this. We've got a heart that's kind of dictating where the show wants to go. And then Todd kind of builds this bone. And then the bones are places for the bits to exist. So let's go into the actual content of the show, like educational pieces, which we're calling the head.
Yep, the brain.
So, you know, our goal is not just to make another show that looks like, you know, couch potato material. We actually want to teach you something. And the goal is you get to the end of the show and you're like, wow, that was fun. Uh-oh, I actually learned something. Like, oh, how did that happen? And so in Port A, I mentioned that, like, you know, as I'm looking to build this body, I always want to have something educational, and that was kind of the Farley Boats thing. So there's this boat shop that's run by the museum now, but it used to be a legitimate boat shop where they made tarpon boats. You know, tarpon fishing was huge in Port A. Before it was Port Aransas, it was actually called Tarpon, Texas. And people from all over the country would go there and catch tarpon. Well, they overfished them, and the tarpon are gone. Well, they're slowly coming back now, but for the most part, they're gone. And but people, like, even FDR came down there and fished for tarpon. And now this boat shop hosts people to build these boats. And I thought that was just a really fun kind of thing.
That is cool. And to learn the process and to go in and see someone doing the planing as they're getting the board smoothed out.
Yeah, they were building this huge schooner.
Yeah.
My gosh, it was giant.
It was just so cool to see that.
Yeah, and so they built everything from, like, little, like, rowboats to, you know, 50-foot schooners.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Very cool, in fact. And so, you know, and then there's also just sort of educating people on the town itself, how the town exists, where the museums, obviously, but then, like, the cool stuff, like St. Joe's Island. It's a giant private island owned by the Bass family. Like, did you know you could own an island in Texas?
I had no clue.
Yeah.
But what I was also really interested in to learn was that you can own your private island, but if you have a beach, then that's public.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Public.
All beaches in
all
Texas
beaches
are public.
Are public. And so, you know, they have to let people come and enjoy their beach if you can get a boat, if you can find a boat to get there, right? That's the idea. So, you know, that's the head of the story. What are we teaching people? the heart and the storyline I find kind of dictates that, but then the head is built around what we want people to learn, because we actually want you to learn something. If there's any teachers out there, we love y'all. Keep showing the day tripper in class. We'll keep making it good. Then let's move down to the hands and feet of the show, which is really the adventurous part. For Port Aransas, there were a few adventurous things we could have done. One of them was fishing. And to the joy of the crew, I left fishing off of this episode.
Thank you.
I don't even think they know that I did that intentionally for them.
Really? That was just for us?
Oh, yeah.
Not for the fact that we've done it in the past few shoots twice or so?
But that's part of it. But you guys, I knew that if I said, hey, we're going fishing, you guys would have gone...
Again?
Yeah, again.
Little do people know that fishing for us can be really sketchy.
Oh, very sketchy.
Like the Port O'Connor fishing, that was two times down there.
We went down and totally blanked the first time. I had to go back to town. Fish don't exactly adhere to our schedules that we make, is the tough part.
And Lake Fork was a whole different
situation. Oh, yeah, totally fail on that one. I left fishing off. The adventure for this one, I was like, okay, what can you do? You can, there's a lot to do in Port Aransas around a beach town. You can just sit on the beach, go
like
fishing.
That.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't like beaches.
I know, just kidding.
Yeah. Then you could surf there. And so I was like, bam, surfing. Gotta do surfing. And believe it or not, the waves were big enough to catch. It was awesome.
Yes, you did good. I was really impressed.
Well, that's...
I was expecting a lot of bloopers to come from that. And we don't really have a lot of surfing bloopers.
We got some. You know, I actually barrel rolled off of the board just to give us some stupid stuff. Because I need to fail at it first and then kind of make it.
Oh, so those are intentional?
Sure. Not maybe 50-50.
So I don't know if it's going to make the show or not, but it's definitely going to make my behind-the-scenes video. There was a part there, though, where Chet and Morgan were surfing side-by-side.
He was the instructor.
And Chet fell off, and Morgan's kind of like, oh, there's an empty board next to me. So Morgan go ahead and puts his other foot
on my board.
And just basically surfed in on two boards. It was fantastic.
It was the timing was perfect. No, that'll make the show for sure. It's too good. The adventure part is critical to the day tripper, and but that's one of the hardest things to plan around.
It is, because there are some towns where we really struggle with what's going to be the adventure.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock against the town, but it's just something that we are struggling with.
And another logistical thing is adventure takes longer than just going to a museum. You know, we go to a restaurant, we know it's going to be 2 hours max.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Surfing, how long are we going to wait for waves? Are there even going to be waves? Fishing, my gosh, are we going to catch any fish? And if we don't, what's the plan B? You know, rock climbing just takes a long time to set up.
Even zip lining, because we have to film all of that. So we have to send crew ahead to be with cameras at the other end.
Yep.
Chet's got to do his piece. Someone's got to come behind.
Yep.
And do we do it with a GoPro? How many cameras are we going to take? There's got to be audio as well. I mean, there's a lot of logistics in those things.
Yeah, exactly. So the hands and feet do their job well. They work hard. They work hard. Because, you never know what's going to happen. And then you got to kind of be open to... Am I going to fall? Am I going to eat it?
Right.
Is this the episode where Chet breaks his arm? Because if it is, I would hope y'all would keep the cameras rolling.
I would.
Okay, good.
I think we should.
I was telling him, if I start getting eaten by a shark in Port Aransas surfing, and y'all shut off the cameras to help me, that's a big fail. We got to make good content here. All right?
Yeah, it's like Chet has a bounty that if anybody catches a poisonous snake on camera, then we get $100.
You don't
bonus.
Have to catch it, physically catch it.
No, but see it on camera, film it.
Yes. So if we find a poisonous snake that we can stop and talk about, $100 to whoever found the snake.
Now, if we get bit while filming that snake,
$150. I'll go up 50.
Nice.
No, you don't have to touch it, but we just have to. It has to sit there long enough for us to get over there with the cameras, to kind of talk about it, and snake safety. I want to use it for snake safety.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to touch the thing. All right.
Kind of like our alligator safety when we were filming.
Yeah, exactly. Don't screw with them and they won't mess with you. All right. So, and then of course the part everybody loves, the stomach of the show.
Oh yeah, the guts.
Endless, bottomless stomach of the show.
Yes, yes.
you know you got to eat food. And the funny thing is, no matter how much history or head or hands I put on the show, people love the food. It's just all about the food.
They do.
So I've got to find, and here's the deal. So there, you know, adventure, sometimes we do the one thing the town offers. History, we may do the one thing the town offers. Food, there's always lots of options.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
So this is the hardest part, really, to narrow down which restaurants you're going to eat at. And of course, back to the heart, I'm looking for the story. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of places that'll serve you chicken fried steak or barbecue, but like, what's the plus? Yeah. This is the deal with filming a lot of Tex-Mex restaurants. Often it's just Tex-Mex.
Yep.
It's like, where's the plus? What are you doing different than this enchilada plate that from every other enchilada plate? Maybe it's because the family's been running the place for 60, 70, 100 years. Maybe it's because their food really is different. Maybe they're doing Mexican seafood, stuffing crawfish with enchiladas. I don't know.
Like, right.
You know, maybe they're just
That's
doing
a good
something
idea.
Crazy.
Kind of like the same.
I would like crawfish enchiladas. That sounds yummy to me. So the heart kind of dictates sometimes the restaurants, but then at the end of the day, it's got to stink and be off the charts good.
It does.
In Port A, we went to Ari Island Seafood, and this was a little bit different for us. I looked around the island. There were a lot of places that'll get serve you fried shrimp. So it was a good opportunity to go to a higher end spot. This was like black tablecloths kind of thing. That's like another level. It's like white tablecloths and then like black tablecloths.
Well, it was a nice restaurant. Oh, yeah.
And chef inspired food, but dang, it's one of the top five meals I've ever had.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, my gosh.
I agree. I have my own little running list in my head of our places that I would love to go back. Now, we often joke and say, when you go back again, it's not going to taste as good as that first time.
We do, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Anyway, Roosevelt's. Phenomenal.
Oh, dang, it was good. Oh, my gosh. I had clams and mussels in this butter wine broth, and then I had coconut shrimp.
Oh,
but it wasn't just, like, breaded. It was, like, soaked in coconut milk. Oh.
And then he threw some red peppers in there, chili peppers.
Oh, dang,
and they were
he did.
So good.
Took it over the top.
Man.
Oh my gosh, it was good.
The
so that's like one of those
shrimp.
Worth the splurge places. Mm-hmm. It was called Roosevelt's, which tied in perfectly to the storyline we had about Roosevelt, who caught a tarpon in Port A, and his autographed scale from his fish is still on the wall.
It is. And it has a suite at the inn.
Yep, that's right. The Roosevelt suite.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So that's kind of the stomach, but that is different from the guts. Well, I'll talk a little bit about scheduling a restaurant.
You know, scheduling a restaurant is a little bit difficult because we're asking them to interrupt usually a pretty high traffic time for them, a high volume time.
We tend to go to good restaurants, so they have customers.
So we usually are there between 11:30 and 1
for lunch
and 5:30 and 7 for dinner, which are usually their high traffic times.
Yeah, big time.
And so we're asking them for a table for the crew.
Yep.
We're asking them to give up another table for Chet to eat at. And then we're also dropping in an owner interview or whoever their spokesperson is.
Yeah.
So now we're in the way of that as well.
Yeah.
And then we've got a camera guy in the back in the kitchen while they're trying to crank all this food out who is in their way filming and trying to capture the best shots.
Yes.
So all those factors. And then so when I call them and tell them this, it's usually like,
And I wish we had the budget to say, like, what do you make on a normal night? We got you covered.
Exactly.
Like, nope, not going to happen.
Which we don't. But there, I would say the majority of the people we talk to are super excited about the opportunity. They're super excited about the publicity. That once we get through the how and I smooth over and guarantee them that we're not going to be in the way that much and that we've done this a ton of times being in a kitchen. But how small that kitchen is, we can make it work. And we have been into some very tight kitchens.
Oh, dang, we've been in some tight
kitchens. Very tight kitchens.
Yeah, like enough room for like one person's bouteille to move back and forth.
Exactly.
And it's funny, in some other kitchens, some of the kitchen staff sometimes runs when they see cameras.
We've actually had a few where they've pretty much
said,
all left except for one or two people.
Yeah.
But scheduling a restaurant is a challenge, but we always make it work, and it works out well. And I will say this, I don't think there's been except exception of maybe two or three since I've been on the crew, most of the restaurants are so thankful and grateful that they also have no problem feeding the crew. In fact, they insist upon feeding the crew after we're done.
Yeah.
And that's just phenomenal. That's just a great
way to end
the
evening. They're really gracious.
For sure. And the owners take their time and sit down with us and hang out and visit.
And that's always awesome.
It's really cool.
We Texans are just the most hospitable people ever. And so a lot of owners really will say, wow, you know, we couldn't afford this advertising. And of course, they don't pay us to be on the show.
Yeah, we're not pay for play.
We're not pay for play. We pick them and we go film. And you know, whether they pay for our meal or not doesn't determine them being on the show. But some people are so just appreciative.
And we've had a few restaurants that have been very hesitant about us coming. But once we get there, and I'm thinking like with King's Inn in Kingsville.
Man. Yeah.
Very hesitant about it.
Very hesitant.
And is already booming and busting at the seams for business.
He's like, I can't handle any more customers.
But when we get there, super nice, laid back, super thrilled that we're there. He sees us do our job and he gets it.
Yes.
And he gets into it.
That's right. That's right.
And was extremely hospitable.
That's awesome. Yeah, people are super nice. So that's the stomach of the show. But that's not the guts of the show. The guts, you know what I'm talking about. What it takes to don women's clothing or dress like a pirate and walk around in public with cameras rolling. That's the true guts of the show. And truthfully, those are the moments I think that set us apart from all the other travel shows.
I would agree.
The ridiculous bits. But man, there's been some times where you just gotta like suck it up and make it happen because you know, it's not easy to like dress in full costume and walk around on a public street.
I would agree. Much less even fitting into a woman's costume, because I still remember in Tomball when you were walking down the stairs
and
back at that train, and I mean, you could physically see on the camera the buttons flying
pew,
off.
Pew, pew. The shot off the back. It was that Chris Farley, fat guy in a little coat. We would have put an eye out. Those buttons flew so fast. Man.
And so, I think of Richie in Palestine in that gorilla costume.
Oh.
Sweating because it was hot
midnight,
out there.
1 a.m. I was worried that dude had lost it because he kind of went cuckoo there for a little bit. So we were out hog hunting in the middle of the night. It was fun. I think that bit's going to come out great. But anyway, he dressed like a Sasquatch and walked around.
And then you in Monahans. I still cannot believe you actually poured sand in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the things you do for the show. Oh, my gosh.
Hey.
I would not
have
done
that. You know, when something's going to be captured on film, it'll live forever.
True.
You know, it'll live forever. So you got to go big.
Like Greg, one of our backup sound guys, actually picking up a cigarette off the street.
And he ate it.
And then put that in his mouth, and then he like ate it in part of the show.
Oh, it was gross.
Like, yuck.
That's when you just gotta go for it. See, that's the guts, man. That's the guts. That's the guts of the show. But that kind of stuff can be hard to schedule.
It can be, because we never know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we get this creative flow that happens. Sometimes it's not planned on those bits, and we go over our time that I've allotted for it.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out where it comes out of and how we shift it around.
Exactly. So it's kind of, I mean, it's really all over the place. You know, is a bit going to take 15 minutes or is it going to take 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's different every shoot.
It is.
Yeah.
I would agree. Totally agree. You know, that's even like with Hillsboro, you know, not knowing what we're going to come across. I mean, that museum, we went in there thinking it was going to be like any other museum.
Yeah.
And I had allotted us a certain amount of time based upon what we knew. But when we got in there, that thing was way bigger and a lot more to go into.
If you guys need to go to the Texas Heritage Museum at Hill College in Hillsboro, you think it's going to be like a bunch of old farm equipment or something like that? That is a phenomenal museum. Goodness. And so you walk in, and that was one I had not scouted.
Yeah.
And you just get kind of blown away. Like, what? Really?
Mm-hmm. What was going to be about an hour and a half in there definitely went into the two and a half hour range.
Exactly.
To really cover that like it needed to be covered.
Yes. Yeah, right. Huge.
So, you know, back on that whole planning side of things and the bones of it, there's still flex that has to happen.
Has to be. But, you know, when once you've sort of gotten the heart and the soul, Todd's built the bones. Yeah. You've got the head, which is the educational part. You got the feet and the hands, which are like the adventure. Then you've got the stomach, which is, of course, the food. Then the guts, which is just that whole, like, throw shame aside and make it happen kind of thing with all the bits. You end up with something that actually looks like an episode.
Yes, you do. A full human consumable episode.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Then we go into the post-production, chop it all up, and make it happen. But if you didn't get good stuff in the field, you're already up a creek in post-production.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure we didn't answer all of your questions, but if you still have questions, please email us. Chet at thedaytripper.com, Todd at thedaytripper.com. We get all those. So ask us your questions, please. Or podcast at thedaytripper.com if you've got questions for us. But that was fun. So that hopefully that gives you guys a little bit more insight into how we make the magic of the Day Tripper happen. Broke it down for you. Now go out there and make your own travel show. It's just that easy.
Remember, good places for education, good places to eat. Find the story, the heart behind where you're going to go. Be willing to be stupid and go have fun.
That's all it takes. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Of course, we couldn't do this podcast. Another thing, we could do the anatomy of a podcast, kind of.
We could.
Maybe someday.
We could. Which basically is usually Chet and Todd over a drink talking about.
Saying like, what are we gonna do? Yeah. But we couldn't do it without the good folks over there at Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. Remember, 5 Austin area locations. One of the best burgers you'll ever eat anywhere. I promise.
And I always forget about, but I'm just fascinated by the whole trailer down off of Barton Springs.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. This is awesome.
They got a trailer in the trailer game, man.
Mm-hmm.
So join us, though. Next time, we will be talking Texas for the month of, where are we? October.
It'll be October.
Filling you in on all that's been happening here in the Lone Star State. Yeah. And then after that, behind the scenes on the new episodes. New episodes start in October, folks. Set your DVRs. Get ready online.
Set them up.
Wherever you
make
watch.
Make sure they're ready to record the new stuff.
Yep.
Kicking off with
Big Bend.
Big Bend.
It's going to be great.
Awesome.
All right. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll see all y'all out on the road. Vaya con Dios, amigos.